Well, well, well. They indicted after all. I thought I'd make a quick sort of update based on this thing, because I know a lot of people are going to have questions and want to talk it out with other folks, and some people don't have other folks to really talk it out with. So here I am for you guys. Plus, I need to talk it out. I'm going to be talking this out like crazy over the next probably 2 days. So Donald Trump gets indicted. What's that mean for us? Well, considering that the case is complete bullshit and the statute of limitations ran out on this a long time ago, the only thing that's at risk here is that every single person in New York who's a part of this, on record, stands to lose their entire careers. Judges, attorneys, any type of paralegal, anyone that has to get certified to do their job is most likely going to lose their job at the end of this, because it's going to be weaponizing the legal system in a political manner, of course. And just not following the law, for God's sakes, right? For Donald Trump, well, you know, Elon Musk seems to think that it'll definitely make him more popular. I don't know if that's true. You know, in life, you got things that seem really cool, and then you can start to see the pattern of that thing. And once you start to see the pattern of it, it starts to kind of wane. One of the kind of cheesier analogies is someone who's playing a little game on their telephone or their iPad. And it's really, really fun. I mean, man, it's cool. You're building lumber, you're delivering it, whatever you're doing. You got some zombie apocalyptic thing you're doing. And then you start to visit it every day, two times a day. And that pattern of it just doesn't reward you. And you're done. Reason why I mention that is that there's tactics that Donald Trump has used his entire life to become extremely powerful and popular and what have you. And the thing is, he doesn't have a new trick. At this point in his life, he doesn't have a new trick. So he's constantly telling you how popular he is, and he's constantly calling people names. It's not like we don't agree at some times that maybe Nancy Pelosi could maybe have a different reference, point of reference. But at some point, you just stop talking about it, right? I'll give an example. I was in a business venture with a guy who was completely sleazy. I mean sleazy on a level that was unbelievable. Not the worst sleaziness I've ever heard in my life or experienced in my life, but pretty bad. And so my buddy and I, who were in this venture with this guy, we decided to start our own company, walk away from this guy, who wasn't working anyway. And then we had to make a decision, you know, like, do we talk about this? It just happened. I mean, it just happened. We just got probably $100,000 stolen from us. What do we do? Well, we made the quick decision never to talk about the guy, never to talk about his company. Just act like he doesn't exist. Erase him from time. It was the best decision we ever made. But eventually we were at Sony Pictures and somebody said, oh, I heard you work with that dude. And they mentioned his name. And then I looked at my friend really funny. I looked back at my buddy at Sony and I said, well, it's more like, he stole all of our money, and we got the gig, we did all the work, and he tricked us into allowing us to use his bank account to cash the check, and then he ran off with all the cash. And it's evident because he wasn't able to finish the project after we left, and my buddy at Sony looked at me and goes, yeah, I thought that might be the way it went, because he had dealt with the guy and found out how absolutely inadequate he was. So, the analogy back to Trump is, if you hate somebody and they're gone, especially if they're out of power, let it go. Let it go, man. Express your opinion about someone heavily, okay? You got an opinion currently of, say, DeSantis down there in Florida. Okay, whatever. Express your opinion. Maybe label him once. De sanctimonious or whatever it is. And then move on. Talk about what you're going to do. A leader that's running around inside your company just simply slandering the competition is a bad leader. The only way you get yourself out of a tight situation, you know, say you're in a tunnel and you got to find the way out, is to not stand there and talk about how unfair it is that other people are already out. You just got to hunker down, use every microsecond to get the direction of the wind coming down the tunnel, and then follow it, follow where the water's going, get yourself some light. I think one of the things I'm super excited about is erasing this QAnon or the Q bullshit. I want it gone off the face of the fucking planet. Either that, or I want to see some fucking miraculous UFOs come out of the fucking sky and some big army led by these 200 old skeleton generals. They're hiding in the Pirates of the Caribbean right at Disneyland, drinking wine in their skeleton form. I want to see them do something. Because all the insinuations of this Q fucking movement and of this huge army and this secret underground dumbs and all this other, there is no sign at all around the world that that is true. As a matter of fact, the only thing that is showing itself to be true is the absolute vacuous inversion of that model. Meaning, everything that's supposed to be getting fixed is being broken. There isn't any resistance anywhere except in your mind. And you have people like Dave from X22. The way I think about this is that if you hurt somebody, you deserve a level of punishment, right? But if you deceive somebody, I think you should get double punishment. I think Dave from X22 has made a business out of the Q movement. I don't know how the fuck he gets Cash Patel to show up on his show. I don't know why Cash Patel hasn't said that Q's bullshit, except to say maybe they had a hand in creating the psyop that was Q with the hopes that it was actually going to accomplish something, which it did, which is sort of waking up folks, but then it left them delusional. That's the weird thing. Hey, wake up. And then dad, you know, does that in the middle of the night. And then he runs off and never comes back to the family. And the kid's like, whoa, why the hell did you wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning? You know? So Q's like, hey, look at all this wild stuff. All this is going to take place. Don't worry. Don't do anything. Enjoy the show. Eat your popcorn. Cook your bread. And not a fucking thing has happened. Nothing has happened that is out of the norm. Nothing. So this shit needs to go to bed. And people like Dave from X22, he's going to get a golden throne by the deep state. George Soros will personally give that motherfucker a $10 million home in the zoned out land of Agenda 21 if he lives long enough. Because Dave is serving the deep state at the deepest fucking level. And I think that the reason why, again, Cash Patel, of all people, hasn't come out, you know, and basically leveled the playing field of Q was one of two things. They tried to usurp the Q movement, which was all LARP in the first place, and steal that, you know, fan base over to themselves, or they were a part of it, and it backfired. Whoever it was, they got fucking neutralized, dude. Neutralized. All that shit about the power of all that crap that they were, I mean, it's just, can you now feel the metric tons of bullshit we ingested? The thing is if you give people a bunch of truth out of context or without any type of guidance, without closure about what you're supposed to do with that information, you can do them more harm. It's like you and I know, because of photographs and movies, that there's people like Maria Abramovich who have literally painted public walls with blood. She says it's pig's blood. I would wager that if we did a little biopsy on that blood, it's probably human blood. Just a hunch, just saying, you know. She's had parties with Debbie Harry, Blondie, cutting up a body of herself in the shape of a, you know, it was a cake, but it was the shape of her own body, pulling out her own heart. By the time the cake is completely consumed, it looks like a bloody body. So we know these people exist. And if I were to show somebody who's, say, 12 years old, all this horrific crap, and you know, I'm just going to assume that you can think up the other 99.9% of the horrible crap that's out there that you've seen that you don't show children. And especially don't show people that and get them, you know, you say, look, the kid, this stuff exists. It's out there. It's right out there. Be careful. Da, da, da. And then don't worry. Enjoy the show. And then you run away. And your kid knows you're not there to help them out. You're not there to protect them, but you just prove to them that the outside world is a very evil place. I think that's what Q did. For those of us that have been awake for 20 years plus, it doesn't really, you know, shock us to the core. We have figured out ways of dealing with it, but I tell you what, you know, it took me at least 5 years to sleep normally. And not because I was disturbed, but because I wanted more information. I just could not stop ingesting information. My sleep for the first year was god-awful. 4 to 5 hours of sleep. I have bags under my eyes. My friends actually made comments. And I'm in my early 30s. Because I was just staying up, ingesting as much as I could and trying to filter it, trying to see the pattern of it all. Q is the most amazing neutralizer of anybody getting off their fucking ass and doing anything. Even because there's two ways of getting off your ass, right? There's actually physically getting off your ass and using your feet and marching out to the world and doing something. And then the other thing is to think. What would you do if mommy and daddy wasn't going to fucking show up to save the day? What would you do if you were told by God that, well, my son will come back, but he's not coming back anytime soon? This is your problem. What would you do if somebody said, oh, you know, the aliens came and they said they're not going to be interfering with the deep state taking over the world? That's just not what they do. They're thinking long term. Their first plan is going to be 1,000 years from now. Meaning, hi, how you doing? Shook your hand with my four fingers and you will not see us for 1,000 years, which means, you know, 10 generations if y'all live to be 100. Oh, now you got to do something. France is doing something. But then again, what's interesting about France is all they do is protest. To be honest, they let their guns go and they kept telling themselves that they're super intellectual. They did the universal income, which fucked over their complete working structure of their population. They have the lowest sperm count in Europe. And they're blaming it on cigarettes and other stuff. I'm sure it doesn't help, but I'm sure there's more to it than that. Now the pensions are being fucked with because there's not enough money coming in, because universal income fucked up the overall income of the entire country. So they created a problem, a systemic problem, which is they took people that were working, gave them a little bit of money. Now they don't work because it's a new generation that comes in with no work ethic. Now there's not enough money for retirement funds. They're trying to change the pension programs. It's always trying to fuck over the people as much as you possibly can until they revolt. That's what corporations do in the United States. That's what the state does. That's what the federal government does. You realize that the federal government could just simply come out and say there is no Social Security. But we're going to keep Social Security as a tax. If they could do it, they would. And Maxine Waters would buy 10 more homes in LA. The Trump indictment is sort of Drano to the system, in my opinion. Do I think Trump's going to jail? No. Do I think Trump's ever going to be handcuffed? I don't think so. But Soros is paying off the piece of shit in New York. And isn't it funny, like, you've got a bunch of doped up liberals that look at that fat fuck in New York and go, he's the greatest guy in the world for indicting Trump, right? Just because they're drunk on the groupthink. And then we look at him and we know the bullshit there. And we see the biggest, slimiest Chet from Weird Science ever in history. Remember what George Soros said in 2010, roughly somewhere in there. He said he wanted to start a civil war in America. Now he has a patsy. He's got that guy. So that guy is old and fat and stupid, and he's leading up this indictment thing, right? He just gets it rolling. Remember, President Taft had Philander Knox draft up the 16th Amendment, but Taft couldn't get it done. So he had to give it to Woodrow Wilson, a history professor. It was controlled by Colonel Moon. And then they had to have the Hearst Corporation lie that it was ratified when it wasn't. Same shit. This guy gets the thing started. It doesn't matter if he ever shows up again. They just did it. They just indict the guy. He wants to retire. He's the John Wilkes Booth, right? Believe it or not, John Wilkes Booth's like 25 years old when he runs in and pops the president. He was tired and he wanted a new career. And so they shipped him off to an island off the coast of England where he dies in his 70s. This dude in New York's the same thing. He wants out. And Soros is going to take care of him. Now, somebody asked me, you know, who do you think is the best candidate for president? Carrie Lake, for me, is probably one of the best candidates that could be out there as long as she checks out fine. But we know the Big Don is going to go for it again. The thing is that to even step into the realm of trying to run for the most powerful position in the world, there's a group that will help you if you sign all the dotted lines and cross all the T's and dot all the I's and show your loyalty. They'll help you. But if you're not one of those folks, you better be a Donald Trump and be a billionaire. Do I think Donald Trump would do a good job in his second term? Sure. Do I think he'd be annoying as fuck at times? Oh, yeah. I hope that he wouldn't be more annoying than he was the first time because he didn't have any chance of getting reelected. And regardless if they push the presidential, you know, second tier, you know, what is it, third term thing, he's going to be old. And he might be okay for the next 2 years of a third term, but, you know, I just saw Biden walk up to the press today. Motherfucker, this guy looks so, so old. So drained. What will be interesting to me is how long will anyone be able to pay attention to this? Because we know there is no history of anyone paying attention to anything for any length of time. We just had a tranny blow up a Catholic school. It stinks like shit because there's all kinds of anomalies and stuff still. I'm pretty sure they killed the people, that kind of thing. Might be totally legit, but there's just some weird stuff. It could just be being exploited. I don't know. So that happens, and we'll see in 7 days how much people are paying attention to that. But I want to make a footnote here for those, because I have a friend of mine who's transitioned, and her and I talk, and it's a very beneficial experience for both of us to just listen to each other talk things through. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to teach us that if something happens out there and there's a profile, a psychological profile that matches perhaps your race, your gender, your thought process, you're supposed to feel guilty if someone like you did something out there. Like, white males have done more mass murders in this world than any other species of people. At no point do I feel guilty that the white male did it. Because I'm not like those crazy ass pieces of shit. I'm just not like those people. What they're trying to do is get everyone feeling guilty for just waking up and looking in the mirror. I think rarely in history has anyone actually ever wanted someone else to feel that. I know that a lot of German kids out of the World War II bit off a whole bunch of bullshit from World War II history and were chemically sterilizing themselves because they thought they shouldn't continue living. I mean, imagine knowing the truth about the issues in Germany during World War II because you were on the ground and perhaps you're a wife, perhaps you're a soldier. You know that your kids have been deceived by European bullshit. And you find out you're never going to have any grandchildren because of that bullshit. That whole generations have been erased because of bullshit. That's happening today in at least America, once you get the Kool-Aid here, you get insane brain. Super sad. But I'm talking to a good friend of mine, in fact, my old co-host Kyle, and we're talking about America, and we're just sort of feeling it, you know. When you get older, you can just feel things that you weren't able to acknowledge when you were younger. It is true that, you know, in 1 year, things will be one way, and you think, oh my gosh, it just can't be any other way, and then the next year, it's completely different. It happens. Just complete about faces and behavior. America, at least. I mean, you guys all need to pray for America not to lose the Second Amendment, because I'm telling you, man, once America loses the Second Amendment, y'all fucked everywhere. And that's not arrogant at all. That is pure science, okay? So something needs to happen in America that completely changes us back to family values. That has nothing to do with legacy racism or anything like that. But everyone else needs to take a fucking chill pill too. Like everyone on earth needs to take a chill pill. But especially people in America, like, get over yourself already. Doesn't matter what you are. White, black, Puerto Rican, anything, Chinese, doesn't matter. Get over yourself. Just simply be. Do no harm. Common law, way of living. Don't be obnoxious, because being obnoxious is doing harm, right? Sitting in a restaurant, being the loudest fucking drunk, not good. But a restaurant selling you booze after you already fucked up, that's another issue. Don't go back. Let them go to business. But at this point, my buddy and I are talking, and we're just thinking it's done. America is done at this point, because the people that would be doing something are worshiping fucking Q. They don't want to hear it's not true. It's so fucking pathetic, and it's so sad. I just heard a statistic this morning off this other video that once a country reaches 8% of a protest of some sort of dissidence of a particular opinion, 8%, the country capitulates and surrenders. That's not that much. Now, a better percentage is that only 4% of the population has to get their guns out before the fucking country gets revolted into a better world. That was the claim numbers of the Minuteman count back during the Revolutionary War. 4%. That's all it takes. It's kind of sad to think about the fact that only 4% got off their ass back in the day. I guess 96% of America was just sitting and watching while these redcoats were doing what they were doing. Super sad. So what's the case against Donald Trump in the first place, right? It's some hush money thing with Stormy Daniels. It's not even a real name. Meaning Daniels is not a real name. So unless you've got a red-handed video of this happening, with most likely audio accompaniment, you've got nothing. Apparently, Don Jr. posted today a letter signed by Stormy Daniels saying none of this extortion or none of these payment hush money ever happened. Now, that still could be untrue. She could still have signed a piece of paper and taken some settlement. Happens every single day. But in terms of the court and the law, it's sort of like it sticks. Sticks 100%. We keep saying that everyone's gaslit, right? And, you know, again, just for those who think that means triggered, it doesn't mean triggered. It means that you've been told so many different quote-unquote stories, a.k.a. truths, that aren't necessarily true, that when somebody tells you the truth, you can't decipher which one is the truth. Or you get to the point of one of my closest friends who's now trying to rebut everyone's evidence as a conspiracy theorist, right? as a conspiracy. You know, it's like if we say, hey, you know, Diamond from Diamond and Silk did not get vaccinated, but she died of a sudden respiratory issue. She actually led their movement about 98% of the dialogue every single time they had an episode. She was clearly a super thinker, single, totally, you know, dedicated to this, influencing an area of the world that has never had any really great recent representation. Total hero to not only their community, but everybody's community. And suddenly, she has a respiratory issue. She'd had some clotting issues in the past, but never had a respiratory issue. It, I don't think, is beyond tasteful analysis to suggest that perhaps somebody swiped her place, as in swabbed. I mean, I should say swabbed her place with some sort of venomous poison. Who knows? They have the ice gun 1975 that could shoot you and you wouldn't feel it, and you'll have respiratory issues from venom. She was cremated and she didn't want an autopsy, so toxicology will never find anything, even if there was something. So we're getting to a point now where everyone's sort of mentally breaking. It's that bizarre moment when someone who didn't kill somebody, didn't do something, has sat in a police station for so long, sleep deprivation, food deprivation, everything, that they'll say anything to get out of that situation, including putting together an entire story about an event that never happened. And the more mentally simple someone is, the faster they capitulate down to it. So sad. So imagine the basics of what you know has to happen. The deep state organizes, right? The John Hopkins and Bill Gates Foundation run Event 201, where they simulate killing 63 million people in the United States of America, including segments on how to battle disinformation, which is actually truth about what they've done, about deploying a bioweapon, killing people with the vaccines. They strategized every bit of that. So how high does your IQ have to be before you realize that that's the sort of organizing we have to do in the eyes of God? To do it for sovereignty of mankind, freedom. I mean, I suppose if you're a sterilized human being that can't have any kids and you don't want any kids and you just want to be the last fucking person at the end of your tree, it's just a fucking stump at you, right? Not going to go anywhere after that. I understand if you don't give two fucks about this. Totally. I'd ask you to step aside. You're not a part of the problem, but you're definitely not part of the solution. For those of us who think that there's been a lot of investment in this world since the very, very beginning, however that occurred, we believe that the purpose is to fight for the greater good. On one level, I assume it wasn't easy to create the universe, that there was a lot of ball busting. You know, if you've never been involved in a really complex project in your life, I understand why you might think that creating the universe was just snapping a finger. If God truly did that and just snapped his finger and it all just popped into existence, I'm going to say he was someplace else when he figured out how to do that, when he invented the finger popping trick. The analogy here is we're here to work. We're here to figure out how to appreciate life, the gift that we have. And hey, you might be off on a theory that could be true, where there's reptilian aliens and they signed a deal with the mankind in the 50s to replace our leadership with their shape-shifting folks, and the game is on. What does that do for changing what I just said before I said that conspiracy? Nothing. You still got to fight back. You still have to fight back. What's interesting about the whole thing, and perhaps frustrating, is that our grandparents or our parents, especially my parents, I'll say this much, they technically walked past Vietnam. Some people got drafted into it, but a lot of people didn't. But they sat there and rode on the coattails and on the shoulders of giants who pioneered this country into existence, and probably even yours. I don't know. I can't speak for how blissful it was to be in Europe in those times. As far as I can tell from celebrated history, it was pretty nice everywhere. And as it always happens, the spoiled, even just a little bit spoiled, can screw up the entire world. And they did. They got duped. They got attacked by things that their parents did not get attacked by. But isn't it interesting, if you go back to the history of the United States of America alone, back to the 1890s and up, if you just read some of the things that the senators were talking about back in those days, they were all conspiratorial. And they were fucking right. Isn't it interesting that when you mentioned the Bilderberg Group for the very first time back in the early 2000s, a bunch of people said you were a conspiracy theorist, and now they'll talk about it to you as if, oh, well, I never said there wasn't one. For some people, the Trilateral Commission doesn't even exist. For some people, Skull and Bones doesn't exist, even though we found where they are at Yale University. We know where their building is. We have fucking videos of these guys in coffins inside their middle ground going through all their initiation processes. So a generation of folks that didn't want to believe anything was other than what television, television told them, they're still trying to, in their elderly age, ridicule the kids that are like their parents, skeptical, abused. Isn't it interesting that the kids, my parents, who grew up in a world where their parents stayed together until death did them part, they got divorced as soon as they fucking could. Why? Because 9 to 5 fucking came out. You know, Cheers came out and said, yeah, you got to be Ted Danson. That's being a winner. Hook, line, and sinker, man. Hey, credit card debt, that's actually just fake money. Just go ahead and keep spending. And spend it on frivolous bullshit. Don't spend on anything that your kid needs or your family needs. Frivolous bullshit. And those are the foundational experts of the current administration pretty much anywhere on earth. People from their mid-60s to their mid-80s. The coddled. My parents can't conceive of the life that they gave me. They can't conceive of the things that I had to deal with as a kid. They can't conceive of it. Yet they try to participate. Donald Trump is right inside that group. Donald Trump was a billionaire kid. Because Donald Trump didn't sit on the sidelines and get lazy with his life, and he wanted to get into promotions. He wanted to sell hotels and ties and steaks and reality shows and beauty contests and lectures and schools. Because he dabbled in so many different disciplines, he learned a lot about how life works, about how to promote things. He still needs new tricks. He really does. But I can't suggest, other than Carrie Lake, I can't suggest an easy replacement for him. Ron DeSantis. No, I don't think he's the one. Not yet, anyway. He hasn't rejected all the endorsements from really evil motherfuckers. And that's a problem for me. That will always remain a problem for me. It's almost as if, and it's not necessarily technically a requirement, but he almost has to do something to completely fuck over everybody who shouldn't have endorsed him, who is typically against the people, to convince me that he's legit. That's sort of a ridiculous statement, but that's why I just don't think my mind's ever going to get on his side. Because the thing is all you have to do is get yourself elected, saying whatever the fuck you want to say, read my lips, no new taxes. Famous fucking line. And nobody even holds the guy accountable for saying it anymore. Isn't that unbelievable? So as soon as George Herbert Walker Bush died, that should have been the headline. The liar's dead. Trump, we'll love him or hate him. Like they said, Promises made, promises kept. How can you fucking negate that in your brain? How can you say it didn't work out? I don't think you can. So, he's not perfect. He may be more blatant about not being perfect than any other former president or candidate for president ever. It's not what we want, right? But at the same time, it's sort of one of these situations where, well, if you could change perhaps one of your relatives, you might. But you can't. So you live with what you got and you survive and it's okay. Really pay attention to how this thing unfolds. And there's a few metrics I want you to think about as you're watching this whole thing. How fast does the public forget about it? What does the liberal press say today, initially, as this thing pops? How do they exploit the whole thing? And then what do they say when they start losing the case? Who's actually employed now in New York in law enforcement and judicial system who's on board with this thing right now? And who is going to be fired without anyone saying anything? Will there be any indication whatsoever that Q was ever real? And will Dave X from X22 ever acknowledge that that's the case? Or will he just completely ignore all of his fucking predictions like he always does? And generally, you know, what is your opinion of someone who lies to you 24/7? Is it okay? Is it okay if someone lies to you to, you know, sell you a t-shirt, get you to watch an ad? I mean, you tell me. I think it's pretty repugnant. I think it's pretty fucking unforgivable. When I became an educator, I educated adults. Very complex, you know, systems, computer systems, database systems. But somebody told me, they said, you know, one of the biggest responsibilities you have is when you're educating someone is to make sure you don't mislead them. And it was interesting, you know, I probably was about 23 when I started educating adults. And I'd never heard that before. I'd never conceived of it before, but instantaneously it was something that I understood. And it's only become more profound as I get older, especially as I've had the opportunity to teach art class to little kids. But especially as I watch these liberals try to indoctrinate children to mutilate their bodies. I just saw a video today posted by a fairly controversial person, Lauren Witzke. But she posts this video where someone walked down a line of homosexual men and said, it was kind of like them standing up for themselves. And first two, it made complete sense. You're like, okay, yeah, you know, whatever. You gotta stand up for yourself every once in a while, that kind of thing. So one guy says, you know, I like men. And the other guy says, oh, I like men too. And a third guy says, I like men and little boys, or boys. Okay, no, he didn't say little boys. He said boys. You know, I don't know anybody who fucking calls anyone over 12 a boy. You become a teenager as soon as you hit 13. So this guy's talking about being infatuated with little boys. And these are the people to get into these upper echelon areas of education, government, law enforcement. What's interesting is when you meet a normal law enforcement person who wouldn't have a goddamn thing to do with anything subpar as a human being, you've got a warrior on your hands, male or female, doesn't matter. They would do anything to stop these fucking creeps from touching your kids. And I assure you, the ones that are the scumbags, they don't allow their life to be in the same circle as the people that will put them down, because they know they'll be caught and they'll be put down. I think we look at the world and we don't understand how easy it is for these people to squeak by. What's nice is that the news of this indictment came out a long time ago, a week and a half ago or whatever. And so people got warmed up to it. Now we don't have to worry about, you know, big cities being torn down because this is occurring. Now they're saying that, by the way, it's just, this is all breaking live as I'm actually making this episode, that they expect Trump to surrender to DA next week. I mean, what does that mean? That he's going to be in an orange jumpsuit? The White House won't say anything about it, of course. And of course, the only leftists on the Hill that are really issuing statements about this is Shifty Shift, Maxine Waters, some other guy, I don't fucking know who the guy is, taking little pot shots. It's an interesting day in history. March 30th, 2023 is the very first time I believe we've indicted a former president of the United States for one of the biggest bunches of bullshit I've ever seen in my life. Interesting times, my friends. Interesting times. I just want to put something out real quick. I wouldn't be caught dead at this point protesting for this situation. They don't give a fuck if you protest, okay? Just look at France. They don't give a shit. Go out and spend all your money protesting. You know, you burn down some stuff. They still don't give a shit. The only thing they would remotely care about is if Macron was in a particular building and that building had a problem. That's the only time they'll ever care. Otherwise, they don't care. They never will. You can burn down New York. They don't care. If you're really interested in making a difference, get into the case. Every single thing that they say is evidence, get into it. Read about it. Pretend like it's your ass on the line. For the next 48 hours, I'd say, you know, just talk to folks you really know. Because you're going to have a lot of, like, built-up tension in people right away here. And you don't want to walk into that mess. Anyway, I'm making some changes as we're talking to the Deep Thoughts Radio website. Got a new template up there. Right now, it kind of looks like dog turds, but I'm working on it, making it prettier. Just remember, everything's up there. I'm going to be putting together a new store, completely different concept for the shirts and stuff. We'll keep the old stuff up there too. Sorry I haven't been on camera for a while. I don't think a lot of you miss me on that level. Anyway, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.